Most parents will have noticed that childhood food allergies seem to be much more prevalent today than they were a generation ago. Are food allergies actually becoming more common, as claimed by a growing number of food allergy nonprofit organizations? Well, Meredith Broussard has written about food allergies in the current issue of Harper's Magazine. I'm very pleased that she could join us today on the show. Hello.
Hi, thanks for having me.
What is a food allergy? Is it if I eat wheat, I suddenly break out in hives?
Well, we don't actually know that much about food allergies. We know that you have to eat something in order to have an allergic reaction to it, but the reactions really vary. They may be hives, it might be an itchy mouth, maybe you have some wheezing,
Some people
vomiting.
Say they become hyper?
People attribute all sorts of things to allergies. And at the extreme end of allergies, there's anaphylactic shock, which is the thing that parents are really scared about right now. But it's much more rare than everybody imagines.
So how common is anaphylactic allergy?
Anaphylaxis is sort of a complicated term. It has a number of different definitions, which is why it gets so confusing. So it's properly used to either refer to the range of allergic reactions. So like an itchy mouth and hives can be called anaphylaxis, or it's used to refer to anaphylactic shock. Mm. So two different doctors saying, okay, well, you got an anaphylactic reaction. Well, they actually mean two different things.
There seems to be a range of disagreement on this issue. Hugh A. Sampson, who is director of the Elliott and Roslyn Jaffe Food Allergy Institute at Mount Sinai School of Medicine and a food allergy expert, says that an estimated 150 Americans die each year from severe allergic reactions to food. That's a total variance with the statistics you include in your article.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. When you look at the media coverage, when you look at the medical literature, actually, you always see this exact same statistic, 150 to 200 deaths every year. And actually, Dr. Sampson is the author of the statistic. And what it comes from is the only epidemiological article we have on the prevalence of anaphylactic food allergy. And in fact, it's not even about food allergy specifically. It's from an article called Incidence or Epidemiology of Anaphylaxis in Olmsted County. Now, it looks at a very small rural community in Minnesota. And in the study, 9 people in the study required hospitalization for anaphylaxis from any cause. So that's from drugs, from bee stings, from ingesting something, any cause. Only one person in that study died from anaphylactic shock, and that was after exercise, not after eating something. So it's not epidemiologically accurate. It's not statistically accurate to say, okay, we have people who died from anaphylaxis from this other thing, and then we're going to extrapolate it to everybody in the United States.
Well, how far, what are the claims being made by the groups that are talking about food allergies? Are they all talking anaphylaxis, or are they just simply saying, you know, there are a lot more food allergies than we think? It could make us feel uncomfortable, uneasy, cause other problems, and maybe they were always there, but we didn't notice them because we didn't really realize what was going on.
Well, it's really hard to tell, isn't it? Because we don't have data on food allergies from 1945 or whatever. We have only started tracking allergies and food allergies specifically in the past, say, 10 to 20 years. So it's really difficult to tell whether more people have allergies nowadays or just that there's more awareness now and more people are being diagnosed with allergies now.
What does the Center for Disease Control say?
The CDC tracks all of the accidents and all of the deaths in the United States, and their records show that we have only 12 deaths from food allergies in the last year that we have data available for. And approximately four times as many people died from being struck by lightning.
How did the Minnesota study data turn into a nationwide statistic of 30,000?
Again, this comes from an article that Dr. Sampson wrote, along with Ann Munoz Furlong, who's the head of the Food Allergy and Anaphylaxis Network, which is a nonprofit educational and lobbying group devoted to raising awareness of food allergies. And what they did is they looked at the number of people hospitalized in the Minnesota study and extrapolated that to the entire U.S. population. They said, well, if nine people were hospitalized here, then, there must be 30,000 people who have this happen annually. But that's not actually how – that's not how we do statistics. It's not statistically significant.
So much of the food allergy talk involves kids. Are these studies being conducted on kids, or are we talking about adults in Minnesota?
The Minnesota study tracked everybody who lived in Olmsted County. It was, we have this this body of knowledge that was assembled by the Rochester Epidemiology Project. But one of the issues in food allergy research is that a lot of the conclusions that we've reached are based on surveys. Now, they survey only people over 18. Because our survey methods dictate that you can't interview a minor without their parents, parents present, parents consent. So you end up actually talking to parents of food allergic kids and drawing conclusions from that, which is not strictly accurate. You're not talking to the kids who have food allergies.
Now, most of the food allergies involve things like wheat and dairy products, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
There are people who are allergic to these things. You're not saying that they're not. You're just saying that the case is being made for the danger of these allergies is being overstated?
Exactly. The danger is really being exaggerated. One allergist I talked to pointed out that actually more kids are allergic to dairy than they are allergic to nuts. But you don't find anybody advocating for a milk-free school, whereas you do have schools and daycare centers who are doing total bans on nuts, or they have nut-free cafeteria tables.
And we also have labeling that says this product was made in an environment where nuts were present.
Exactly, which is something that consumers find really confusing. Actually, that legislation was passed as a result of lobbying by FAN, the Food Allergy and Anaphylaxis Network. And FAN, again, the top executives at FAN have actually authored a lot of the dubious statistical research.
So you're saying that FAN is fanning the flames for an epidemic?
Yes. Yes, I am.
And for what reason?
Well, they're a multi-million-dollar organization. And I think that it's very easy to get carried away. It's very easy to sort of get propelled by fear. And back in the mid-90s, late 90s, a couple of articles came out in the medical literature that talked about food-related anaphylaxis. And FAN at that point was just a newsletter. And the point of the newsletter was to translate the medical literature for concerned parents. And so this was the only vehicle that we really had that was translating allergy-related medical information into something that real people could understand. And obviously, parents of food allergic children were really concerned about this issue of anaphylaxis. FAN became the go-to group for consumer perspectives on allergies, and actually they have remained that way. Dr. Sampson is on the FAN board, and Munoz Furlong, who's the head of FAN, is typically interviewed or used as a resource in most of the media coverage of food allergy episodes.
My guest is Meredith Broussard, who's the author of an article called Everyone's Gone Nuts in the January 2008 issue of Harper's Magazine. Everyone's Gone Nuts because nuts become a major focus of all of this. How do, if we find out that our kid has certain food allergies, how should it be treated? Are there shots for this, or do you just put the kid on a very restricted diet?
Well, we don't really know that much about why kids get allergies. Typically, the treatment for a food allergy is just to avoid the food that you're allergic to. And most kids actually grow out of their food allergies. So this is why food allergies are considered different than environmental allergies.
And how do you know when the kid has grown out of it?
Well, really, the only way
to find... a potato chip or something and doesn't fall to the floor?
Yeah, pretty much. Our best test is something called the double-blind placebo-controlled food challenge, which is a taste test that you do in the doctor's office, and they watch you and they see what happens.
And then if a child gets a positive test result for a food allergy, then that child should be taken off of the food, or can they build up resistance to the food?
Well, our tests are not that great at this point.
So there are a lot of false positives?
There are false positives. You have skin prick tests, you have skin patch tests, and you have blood tests, and then you have the taste test. The laboratory tests, so the skin tests and the blood tests, they give false positives. They give a very high rate, but it's sort of counterintuitive because when you're a parent and you see your kid have this this reaction, you know, they get a big hive or something on their skin when you smear peanut butter on their skin. Well, I mean, it's natural as a parent to be concerned about that and feel like, well, I just want to be safe. I just want to keep my kid away from this thing that could possibly be dangerous.
Let's talk about peanut butter and the kiss of death story.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What happened there? Somebody kissed somebody who'd had peanut butter and then supposedly died?
You know, this story is an urban myth. Every time I mentioned the fact that I was researching peanut allergies or that I was researching food allergies to anybody, they said, "Oh, did you hear about that that girl who died because she kissed her boyfriend and, you know, he had eaten peanut butter?" Well, this story had been covered in every major American media outlet, and so there was a big kerfuffle when this happened. And then 2 months later, the coroner announced that, well, it wasn't actually a peanut allergy. It was an asthma attack.
She'd been at a party with a lot of people who were smoking.
Yeah, people were smoking. She had smoked pot. And smoke, of course, is a trigger for asthma. So asthma attacks look a lot like anaphylactic shock. I mean, you have the same wheezing and tightness in your chest. But the coroner determined it was asthma, not anaphylactic shock.
On the other hand, the press loved the story.
The press loved the story. It's really compelling, isn't it? Like the idea that there's this hidden danger and, you know, that like one bite of the wrong thing might like trigger some kind of disaster. I mean, this is the kind of story that we like to tell each other. Whereas the story that, oh yeah, it wasn't really that bad, is not a really compelling story.
Didn't you have food allergies when you were a kid? Should you be the person writing this article?
Well, I actually still have a lot of food allergies. I won't drink martinis, for example, because I'm allergic to vermouth. I mean, I have.
I thought it was the olives that bothered you.
I love olives, but I don't eat those either. Actually,
so you can be allergic to vermouth.
Well, you can be allergic to all kinds of crazy things. And the thing that you're allergic to is actually a protein inside the food. And there are hundreds of proteins in each food. So we don't really know with any great specificity which protein you'd be allergic to. In the Olmsted County survey, one of the people who was reported to have had an incidence of anaphylaxis had a reaction to human semen. So you can really be allergic to anything.
How does the increasing attention given to food allergies fit in with the overall culture of child rearing today? There are people who claim that we're becoming overprotective, that we give our kids antibiotic soaps, that we don't let them play in the dirt like they used to. Mm-hmm. And some people say that that's actually having a negative effect.
Right. That's the That's the hygiene hypothesis, that we're seeing more allergies, more asthma in our kids today because our culture is too clean, that we've got too many antibiotics, too many antibacterial soaps. I don't know. I just don't know why we seem to have more allergies nowadays. But I think that our culture of parenting right now is very anxious. I could tell you a horror story about absolutely any aspect of parenting. And I spent my early months as a mother being very fearful because I was getting all these messages about, you know, all these really disastrous things can happen to your kid. You know, you can choke or roll off the couch or SIDS or, some of these dangers are very real and some of these dangers are a little imaginary and a little far-fetched.
And kids can develop anxiety about having a bad reaction to a food as well.
One of the studies found that food allergic kids, specifically kids who are allergic to peanuts, reported that they felt afraid of dying when they were in the supermarket because they knew that nuts were nearby. And other food allergic kids reported having a worse quality of life than diabetic kids or kids with rheumatological disease, which to me is really sad.
Meredith Broussard is the author of Everyone's Gone Nuts from the January 2008 issue of Harper's Magazine. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Okay, thank you.